And joining us now is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim, an exciting day yesterday, the announcement of the naming rights for the stadium. And I think, first of all, it'll be different to call the place that we've known as Cleveland Browns Stadium, to call it First Energy Stadium, home of the Cleveland Browns, right, and get used to that, and especially you and doing the calls of the game on radio. But I also think that it really steps this team up, yeah, to the modern era of the NFL.
I totally agree with you about that. And, you know, there are two sides to this story. The first side is this. I commend the Lerner family for when they took the team over and being very respectful to the tradition, the name, the colors, that it's the city's team and the area's team and Browns fans' team. And they were right on target with that for, yeah, a long period of time. I mean, they got it. They knew what it was all about. It's Cleveland Browns Stadium, and that's fine. But then I also commend Jimmy Haslam and his people coming in and realizing that you can hold on to the tradition, but you have to get into the 21st century, right, in the NFL. And the reality is what the reality is, that if you have an opportunity to bring a new stream of revenue in and you give the opportunity to somebody like First Energy to become a part of the NFL and a fixture of a very, very precious piece of land down on the lakeside in Brown Stadium, now First Energy Stadium, home of the Cleveland Browns, then I think that you make the marriage and you get it done. And I think it does... I think really take the Browns into the new NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not that they were dragging behind.
No.
Because you can hold on to tradition, but this is the new NFL.
It came along really at the right time. And you could argue that it was overdue. You know, this,
true,
should have been done a while back. And keeping in mind that the Lerner family, while they own the team, while Randy Lerner owned the team, they made open to sponsorship opportunities almost every other place of the stadium except the name. So,
that's right, yeah.
So, you know, keeping that in mind, but understanding that you wanted to hold on to one aspect of it that is maybe tying into the tradition and the purity of the game and all that. But the new owner comes in, and this is when you can make a change like this and I think have it feel right, and have a guy in Jimmy Haslam who comes from a place – the Pittsburgh Steelers playing in a place called Heinz Field, the Baltimore Ravens playing in M&T Bank Stadium. You know, that's two of your teams, your rivals in your division that have that competitive edge. You've got to keep up with the Joneses in this case, or at least try to.
Oh, I definitely think so. And I don't think that it's any, you know, I know people hold on to traditions and things like that, but you know, I just think it was time to do it, and you're right. It might have leaned on it's a little late in doing it, but, you know, the fact of the matter is it's done.
Yeah.
And then the very, very strong statement by Jimmy Haslam during the press conference and then afterwards in subsequent discussions with the media that, you know, the revenue that is gained from this goes right back into the product.
Right.
And the product is the football team. So they'll do that, and then the second part of the equation is, hey, we want to be able to modernize this stadium. It really has not had a major facelift since it opened its doors in 1999. And Vic, as you well know, that was a great story when they came back in 1999, but that,
right,
was a very tight deadline,
yeah,
to get that place built. I dare say that on the opening night, which was a summer night against the Minnesota Vikings when they played their first preseason game there and the place opened up, there were carpenters banging in nails as we went on the air with the opening of the pregame show that night because, I mean, it was such a tight,
right,
timeline.
Right.
Now, if and but and shoulda, woulda, coulda, if the Lerners had owned the team back at the time when the stadium was being built, would it have been built differently? Definitely yes.
Yeah.
But it's time for probably some modernization of the stadium because now in the NFL, this one borders on becoming a little bit older.
It does. I mean, I think it still has qualities that make it up to speed, but you're right. When you want to go through the competitive landscape, and let's face it, stadiums come in all kinds of shapes and, mm-hmm, sizes, and you have the dramatic castles in Dallas and in New Jersey, East Rutherford,
sure,
New Jersey, but you also have those that are weighed at the bottom of the list. We were out in Oakland, right? And you want to talk about going back to a museum, that relic that
right,
is in Oakland. So
yeah,
so we run the gamut. The Browns Stadium, yeah, I think somewhere in between now, and I think you're right with this. What this naming rights thing does is, first of all, I think gives you that revenue that you can utilize to build your team, make it better, buy players, find them, identify them, have the wherewithal, but also making, if you make the facility look better, the place says that the players call home here in Berea and the stadium, if the funds go toward that too, hey, that's an important part of a player's thought process. I mean, if all things are equal financially, when he's in the free agent market, he's looking at where do I have the best chance to win.
True.
If all the money's equal. Quality of life or living, maybe that comes into play, but oftentimes guys will surprise you and not necessarily always go to the warmer climate and
right.
the better place from a weather standpoint. But I think it's also, is it a first-class outfit? How do they treat us here? And I get the sense that Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner totally understand that. Banner from the Eagles, you want to talk about a first-class setup in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field and their training center,
true.
The NovaCare Training Center,
yeah.
those are top-flight places.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, too, and I go aesthetically on this point, Vic, and that is that when I took a look at the renderings, and I know we're on radio right now, but when I took a look at the renderings of how First Energy is going to be built out front of the stadium and inside the stadium and on the upper part, the upper regions of the stadium, it was very tastefully done, very effectively done. So I'm sure that they, and I know that they are very pleased with their association with the Browns and yeah. having their name out there and portrayed in a very, very first-class way.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim, this is an interesting, we're still in this transition process of the Browns getting new people aboard to, you know, run the day-to-day football aspects from a coaching standpoint. We've got Rob Chudzinski here. He's still working on his staff, getting that completed. And the personnel side, they're still working on that. And we got an update from Joe Banner and Jimmy Haslam on that yesterday, where they were saying sounded pretty close to getting this stuff done. And, you know, maybe we'll have something figured out here within a day or so or by the end of the week. But absent that, the train doesn't stop moving. Senior Bowl is
right.
next week. The show will be down there for the entire week in Mobile, Alabama. So you've got to have people down there. Now, certainly Joe Banner can at least take a group of scouts that are still under contract there. But you just wonder, you know, how it'll all transition with the coaching staff being put together and then the possibility of a GM or personnel yeah. director coming into coming into the fold soon.
Well, and the other thing too, Vic, is that it's been a busy day now in the NFL. I mean, Chip Kelly is taking the Eagles job.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Mark Trestman.
Yeah,
great
Chicago.
Guy.
Yeah.
Getting the Chicago Bears job. Good for him. You know, now these guys are also looking for staffs. You
yeah.
know, and they've got to get their situation settled too. So competitively now, you're out there and you're trying to get the guys you want,
mm-hmm.
but now with other teams making decisions on head coaches, they're in the position, and the Browns have had a little bit of a head start now for the last 4 or 5 days since Rob took over as the head coach of the team, so you got to get to work. And I think that I noticed yesterday a lot of the guys in particular, you know, we're at the stadium for the big announcement with First Energy getting the naming rights, but I think they were also looking at their watches to say, hey, I got to get back and see if I
yeah.
can return a couple of phone calls here and maybe firm up some of these spots.
There's no doubt that they've been working at a frantic pace,
right.
and it's been a busy time here in Berea, no doubt, to get these finalized, these other hires that have to be made. I still think it's not the hardest sell when you look at who's in place mm-hmm. elsewhere. This was not a year when any real superstars, NFL superstars, came into the coaching ranks who would maybe have a stronger attraction to assistant coaches. Chip Kelly would probably qualify as the biggest name, but he comes from the college ranks.
Yeah.
It's a different deal.
Yeah, that's
a
wild card.
Right? That's a wild card.
That's a wild card.
You know, Andy Reid to Kansas City, but he's able to kind of tap into his established Andy Reid network,
sure.
so to speak, if you will. But when it comes to everybody else, and Mark Trestman, Rob Chudzinski, Mike McCoy
right.
San Diego, I mean, they're all kind of pulling from a pool that looks at each of them and saying, okay, this is your first head coaching shot,
yeah.
and what else do you have around you? I frankly think coming on the heels of the timing of this announcement with the First Energy naming rights deal probably wouldn't be the worst thing for a coach to see. Okay, look, they're getting another revenue hit here. They're going to pour a lot into this team.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think that the fact that Rob has been around a little bit now, you know, with San Diego a couple of times, with the Browns a couple of times, and now he can draw a little bit on what happened down in Carolina too. And I think that he's got a wide perspective now And I think it's because of the growth of his own offense, don't
right.
you?
Yes.
I mean, that he has not truly stuck with one system, but he's blended a bunch of systems in, and then he's picked and choose what he liked, but what best fit his team. So he can go in a lot of different areas, I think, because of what he's done offensively. What will be interesting is to see what happens defensively
yeah.
and what they finally decide they're going to do and who is going to lead them into whatever they are going to do.
Jim, we're just getting started with this because we're going to talk with you about the special teams, going to do our positional review, continue that series that we have of 2012 positional review. The final installment is special teams, so we're going to keep you around for that. He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.